Good morning, everyone. God bless you today for being patient with this Wednesday's broadcast. Whatever we're going to say today has been resisted. This is the third time that we have uploaded, but I am live today on this Wednesday morning, and I have some thoughts out of Hebrews 6. Our theme this week has been talking about maturity and perfection. Well, if you're new to our broadcast, and I know many of you are, God's adding new partners with us along the way, travelers as it may be, as we travel on this road of righteousness and holiness. Amen. So sign up, or I should say subscribe or like, and give us a thumbs up. Those things all are important in this internet business. It gives us a little more prominence where we need to be, according to those algorithms, as they say. Well, let's jump into Hebrews 6 and 1 today again. And I've posed a question: will God permit perfection? Now, we've already talked a little bit about this on Monday and Tuesday, that perfection really is maturity. But for many of us in the church life, church world, we see maturity as stop sinning and be a good person that, you know, we don't say things or go places or wear certain clothes or, you know, eat certain foods in some cases. Maturity for some is, a deep dive into theology, Bible school, many things that we may think maturity is. But I'm beginning to see in these years of my growth in God, and as I continue to search and dig in and dive in, that maturity means something different to God than just having a clean slate, in, as it were, no sin, stop doing the old habits and so forth. Maturity to God has something to do with sonship, with growing into being sons and daughters of God. Not just on the way to heaven, not just the fact that we're not going to hell now, and that's a, I guess that's a pretty good start, but that's not the end of the journey. And so we have churches full of people that are just waiting for something so they can go to heaven. No forward advance in much in some cases. And in too many cases, there's what is known as backsliding. Backsliding has become a huge theological doctrine in some cases. When it, in the Bible, in the scriptures, it's not really emphasized as much as it is in some churches, in their teachings or their thinking or even their experience. Once you come into Christ, once you get a hold of God, backsliding is not an issue. Sure, there's down days, or there's days when it seems like we're not hearing the voice of God, or we're not advancing and winning, you know, our slice of the world. But we don't just give up, go away, quit, just because we have a bad day. Once you grab a hold, once God's grabbed a hold of you, once you've been converted or been made a new creature in Christ, you don't become unmade. I'm leaning more and more in the direction of super glued Christians. Call that whatever you want. But this in and out stuff, save one day, not save the next, going to heaven one day, going to hell the next day. Come on, folks. What is conversion and born again and new creature in Christ if it's not something that is done for you, to you, with you, on you, by Christ and by the Holy Spirit, then you have been made into his image. All right. So I'm not looking like God today. I'm not talking like God. I've had a couple of failures. Does that mean I'm thrown back in the ash heap? I got to go back in the line again, stand back and start over? Or does God deal with his sons as sons, chastening? He chastens sons. He deals with sons differently, sons and daughters, those converted. He brings us to our maturity. So, will God permit perfection? Read my lips. Yes, he will. So, perfection being maturity, that's the desire he has. Now, let's look at Hebrews 6 with a different view or a different lens. Hebrews 6 has been used by in my background. Now, I'm not an expert in everybody's theology, honestly, but the world I was raised in, there was a place you could go that was, you were unredeemable. If you committed a sin that was in the category that was, they threw a lot of sins in here sometimes, their own ideas. If you committed those sins, you had committed the unpardonable sin. God could not pardon that sin because you sinned against the Holy Ghost. Well, let's not go too far down that road because it's a dead end. It's a dead end. Some of you may be listening today by the miracle of God bringing you by that you've committed the unpardonable sin. Well, it's not true. I want to tell you that right now. It's not true because God has no sin he can't forgive once you come by faith. If you put Jesus back where he belongs, and that's in the view of faith and in the submission to the cross, like that's the entrance. That's where we come back to God. All right. Now, let us, I'm looking at my computer, trying to figure out some of these buttons to push while I'm talking to you. let me go over to the Mirror Bible. The King James Bible in the 6th chapter says, therefore leaving the elementary teachings about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. All right. We're dealing with the writer of Hebrews, which I've always thought it was Paul or figured it was Paul, but there's some questions about that. Whoever it was certainly led and inspired by God. He's listing out the shift, the change, the switch, the new age, the new covenant, the new connection, which is in Christ, by faith, in the cross, in the resurrection, in Jesus, not in the old experiences of the Old Testament rules and laws. And here are the Old Testament rules and laws. The elementary teachings about Christ that's not Old Testament, obviously. But he said, not laying again the repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, instructions about washing, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Let's go to the Mirror Bible, paraphrased. Consequently, as different as it may seem, you ought to divorce yourself from sentimentally attached attachment to the prefiguring doctrine of the Messiah, which was designed to carry us like a vessel over the ocean of prophetic dispensation into the completeness of the fulfilled promise. A mind shift from attempts to impress God by your behavior to faith, righteousness in Christ is fundamental. There is no life left in the old system. It is dead and gone, and you have to move on. All right, this is the whole essence of Hebrews 6. It's moving on. And we go down then to the third chapter. He's talking about the second chapter, all the Jewish teachings about ceremonial washings. We've got to leave that. We're not Jews. We're not in the old Jewish religions and the old law actions. And all the teachings pertaining to a sin consciousness. Every year they came back and they had a sin consciousness. They had to repeat, repent, renew, kill another animal, go back to the priest. Every year they brought their sin back. Every year they brought their sin consciousness back. It was a repetitive turnstile, as they say, where you get into one of those revolving doors in the hotel and keep going and never get in. All right. So he says, let's not do that. And all teachings pertaining to sin consciousness, including the final resurrection of the dead in order to face judgment, are no longer relevant. So he says in the third verse then, so it is with God's prompting that we advance. The King James says, we will go on to maturity if God permits, but in this translation, it says, so it is with God's prompting, we will advance. Let's take a picture of the different statements. God is not wanting to hinder us from going on. He wants to prompt us, to promote, to encourage, to take a hold of our hand and bring us into that sonship and maturity in Christ. So, answering my question, will God permit? Yes, he will. Now, what hinders promotion, maturity, and as the King James says, perfection or being perfect, what hinders that, of course, is our own storm that is in our soul, mindset, old attitudes, fears, sidetracks. Our attention gets diverted to the problem, to the storm, instead of the Christ. Great example with Peter. I repeat it a lot, but it's too good to pass by. Peter, as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, the storm didn't involve him or didn't intimidate him, but the moment he looked to the storm, he sank. An Old Testament example would be the brazen serpent that Moses put up on the pole, and if the people would look at that brazen serpent, an odd representation of Christ on the cross, but that's what it is. And if they would look to that, the serpents would not bite them anymore. So you and I, as we look to Christ, and as we keep our eyes on not just the Jesus that walked the sands of the shores of Galilee and fed the 5,000, not just the historic Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. We need to have foundational understanding of biblical parables, stories, examples. They're all for our foundational edification and training. However, if that's the Jesus that you know, then you continually go back to a man who walked the shores of Galilee. Now, he was a man. He functioned as a man, because he was fulfilling Adam's commandment to subdue and dominate and rule. So when he was on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he finished his second Adam role. He was the second Adam, came back to fulfill the first Adam's journey. And when he was on the cross, he said, "It is finished," but it wasn't finished because he had not been buried. He had not gone into hell and preached to the saints, and he had not ascended and taken his blood to the Father, and he had not come back in the form of the Holy Spirit. So when he came back in the form of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, the church was birthed, and you and I became part of that church as God brought us into our generation. So let's just take another run at this again, because God is prompting, promoting, and encouraging and helping with our maturity in our walk. He does it in every aspect of what he's given us, in the Holy Spirit, in the angelic host around us that walk with us, in the company of saints that walk with us and work with us, called the cloud of witnesses or the men in white linen, to all the other spirit entities that God has given us to fight the battle with us, to stand against the enemy, to give us our rear guard and our forward advance team. All those things go on all the time because he is promoting and prompting us to come into, here we go, hold on, perfection. Now, for me to be perfect in God's sight is way beyond my pay scale of understanding right now, but not tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to understand more. And the next day, there's going to be a development that is bigger yet and clearer yet. That eye that we see darkly clears up, and we see more. You know why? Because it's a muscle. And muscles get stronger when you use them. So today on our broadcast, and we had a interesting journey getting here, in case you didn't notice. The first one didn't work. The second one got cut off. And I'm determined this is a broadcast you needed to hear. And it has to do with God's promoting you into your position of sonship. And if that bothers you, daughtership, which isn't very, King James words anyway. Sons and daughters of God, same thing. Someone said, "Well, what about the daughters?" And I say, "Well, if that bothers you, they're calling me the bride, so I guess that's a trade." Little humor there on the early morning hour. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to see yourself different than just not sinning? Are you ready to stop going back to the repetitive sin consciousness? Now, it drops down here in the next few verses and says in the King James, if any man's tasted of the age to come, and he turns his back or goes away or stops believing, that he is putting Christ to an open shame, and therefore there's no repentance. What that means is you cannot treat Christ like you did the sheep or the oxen or the turtle dove in the Old Testament, and keep coming back and coming back and sacrificing Jesus again. Every time you come back as a backslider and at camp meeting or revivals, and you get saved again. You cannot get saved again and again and again. That's Hebrews 6. You don't do that. That's bringing Christ to an open shame. One more time, put him on the cross, whip him one more time. No, 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 no. You do it once. You get it done. And then you lose your consciousness of sin. You lose your repetitive repentance, about dead works. You go on into perfection and maturity, which is growth. Your mind is renewed to the Word of God. You're not always thinking about the past failures. You're beginning to see yourself seated in heavenly places. You are in rulership. You have a place in Christ that is amazingly scary. It is. And the things that God has in store for us this side of heaven is just not understood like it has to be done. That's why I'm not looking for Jesus to come by Thursday. There's some maturing to do. God's not going to take us home half-baked. His bride is going to be strong and alive and mature. Amen. So on this Wednesday, be encouraged. God is doing a work in each of our lives, and He will bring us to that place if we'll just exercise unto godliness and allow Him to do the work of the Spirit. Amen. If you have not contacted us in any form, do so. Amen. Give us a subscription and let us know where you're watching from. And if God has nudged you to send us a gift, you can do that in the notes below. And it gives a PayPal or a address you can mail it. We love you guys. And thank you for your patience with all this software glitches that happened that we got through today. And I'm glad we did. I pray for you. I love you. I think of you often as I hold you before the Lord. Let's continue to press forward as the Lord gives us those wonderful, wonderful opportunities to do so. In Jesus' name, we will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early.